Welcome to Reclaiming Womanhood, where we encourage you to boldly become the woman God has perfectly designed you to be. I am your host, Allison Powers, and today we are diving into another powerful topic that will empower you through God's Word to go against the grain of today's culture, reclaim womanhood, and walk it out as moms, wives, and sisters in Christ. Let's get into today's show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Reclaiming Womanhood podcast. I'm super glad to be here with you guys today. It's been a couple of weeks since I've got a chance to come around and record a podcast. So hello, and I've missed you, and I'm glad to be back. I hope you've enjoyed my most recent episodes, the most recent one being with a good friend and worship leader, Jody. She gave some awesome biblical insight onto what worship is all about. And if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. But I thought I'd jump on here quick. I don't have a ton of time. And so I just thought I'd jump on here real quick and give some encouragement middle of the year for the fellow homeschooler. Last week I wanted to get on here and do a podcast, but I was just out of time and I had so much on my plate. And I said to my husband, I'm like, I want to do this and I want to get this done. And he's like, and I'm like, but I just can't fit in the podcast, but I'm supposed to have a podcast. I've never skipped 2 weeks. I've skipped 1 week, but I've never skipped 2 weeks. And I just did this. And I'm like, I just feel this pressure to get it done. And he's like, who's putting that pressure on you? And I'm like, I am. No one else is. No one else is like paying me to have this podcast out every week or every other week. It's me who made that standard. And he's like, well, I give you permission not to do that. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you for giving me permission to wait another week. And the reason I share that with you is because I feel that way, that I can be that way in my homeschool as well. So, and I don't know if there's anyone else that, out there who can be that way. So what do I mean by that? Well, it's important in the middle of the year, every couple months, to sit back, take a look, and evaluate. How are you doing? How is the homeschool going? How are attitudes? How's your attitude? Are you dreading homeschool? Are you enjoying it? Are your kids dreading it? Have you lost motivation? A mid-year checkup is so important. And one thing to look out for is unnecessary pressure, like what I just explained. Unnecessary pressure that you put on yourself. Now, we have our standards by our states that we have to abide to, but I encourage you to really know what those standards are. If you just think that there's a standard by your state that you have to abide to, but you don't know for sure if that's really a standard, go check out Homeschool Legal Defense Association, I think it's .org, HSLDA.org. Make sure that's actually a standard, because a lot of times there could just be something that you assume is a standard and that you assume is something you have to be doing, and you really don't. So make sure none of those pressures are unnecessary and you think they're required from your state. Secondly, is there something that you think that you're needing to do just to be like fill in the blank, the other family down the road, just to be like the public school, just to be like how your teacher was in fourth grade, just to be like whatever it might be? Are there any standards that are stressing you out that you're doing simply to appease some other factor that really has no opinion on what your homeschool should be like? I really encourage you to take a look at that and be honest with yourself and think, you know what? Nobody's forcing me to do what I'm doing, the thing that's stressing me out so much. So why am I doing it? It should not be stressful. Yes, you're going to have your moments, but if it's totally stressing you out and ruining your homeschool experience and your kids' homeschool experience, I encourage you to step back and reevaluate. And one thing I always encourage all homeschoolers and myself to go back to is go back and look at your why. Back in the fall, I did a podcast. I think it was 10 things for homeschoolers or something, or 10 tips. I can't remember exactly. But it was one of my most listened to episodes. And one thing I told every new homeschooler to do is write down why you are homeschooling. Before you start homeschooling, write down your why. Why do you want to do this? Why? It's going to be a journey. And if you're in it for the long haul, and you want to stay in it for the long haul, you need to know why you're doing this. And it needs to be more than just, well, I just want to give it a try. That's why I'm doing it. No, you need a more solid reason why you are doing this. And I'll share with you my why and the why that we have in our family. And that might help you get your brain's juices flowing so you can really know your why. The why we do it, why we homeschool, and it has changed over the years. It has definitely changed over the years, is the number one reason is that we want to teach our kids truth. And we believe that the most effective way to teach our children truth is by teaching them here at home. There is no other institution, there is no other even a private institution that is going to teach our kids truth and a biblical worldview like we can do at home. None. It's just not, there's no comparison. So that's our why. And so I encourage you to reevaluate, figure out what your why is, and revisit that and refresh your mind and re-energize yourself through that. Because when we know our why, those days when we get weary, those days when we don't feel like it, when our kids are not really super motivated, you look back to your why and you're like, realize that you're doing this for more than just the reason that you want to try homeschooling, or more than just the reason that it sounded like a good idea, because it won't always feel like a good idea. Homeschooling will not always feel that way. But when we look back and remember why we're doing it. So on that note, figure out your why, write it down, have it on your homeschool. But I do want to talk a little bit about teaching your kids truth. That happens to be our why. And I do think that as a Christian homeschooler, that should be part of your reason why you homeschool as well. Because we need to really, really evaluate what's being taught to the masses right now. And if we take a look at the public schools and what's taking place, even in private schools, and just across the media, there is no truth being taught right now. Lies are infiltrating our schools like never before. If you haven't heard about what took place in Illinois in the education reform bill that passed, it is insane what these kids, what these teachers are required to teach. I mean, I think of like the 30-year-old grandma teacher who has to teach kids that multiple genders exist and that they can be any pronoun that they want to be, and that our world, our nation is racist and there's nothing they can do about it. And if their skin is white, they're racist and there's nothing they can do about it. These are the things that are required to be taught in school right now. It's insane. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole at the moment, but my point is, it's absolutely crazy and there is not truth being taught in the schools. But we need to, as homeschoolers, change that from the bottom up. So what do I mean? If we look at what's going on in our world, we look at the political scene, it can be extremely overwhelming. It can be extremely overwhelming to think what our kids are going to grow up into, what they're going to grow up and live through. But I just want to remind you of these couple truths. Number one, God is faithful. And God will provide, my pastor said this yesterday, He will fill in the gaps where we don't, where it can be very overwhelming to think, am I going to teach them all the things? Am I going to cover all the bases? And God is faithful. We are going to do our best. It's important that we pray and that we cover our homeschool in prayer and that we do our very best. However, we are human and God knows, He knows our hearts. If we are diligent, He knows that, He sees that, but He will fill in where we miss. So God is faithful. Number two, another thing I want to remind you is that when we look at those things that are overwhelming in the world, remember, God chose to create your children in this generation for such a time as this. He chose them. He will prepare them. They are exactly who He wants to face whatever they're going to face in their lifetime. And you are the mom or the dad, whoever's listening, who He chose to raise those kids. So there's no mistakes taking place right now. So don't for a second think I'm not equipped to do this. You are chosen. This is not accidental. And that brings me to my next point. Teaching our kids the biblical worldview of creation is so important. We live in a culture that has been absolutely infiltrated with evolution. Now, let me explain. You might be thinking, I'm a Christian, I don't believe in evolution. Time out. I'm a Christian. I didn't think I believed in evolution. But I went to a public school from the time I was young till I graduated. Then I went to college. It took me 5 years to graduate. I heard about evolution constantly. The messages about it became just part of my thought process. So when I went back to Genesis and read Genesis chapter 1 and God created the world in 7 days, it was very difficult for my head to be like, wait, but what? I thought the world was millions of billions of years old. And maybe a day means 1,000 years. And maybe He really created it one day, each day was at that. Like, we try to wrap our evolution minds around the 7-day creation. Now, what I'm going to say is a little bit provocative. I encourage you, if you are struggling with that too, to really dive into some resources by Ken Ham. He's the one who did the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. Phenomenal resources that will really, really help you to wrap your head around the fact that creation took 7 days. Why is this so important? This is so important because when we read the Bible, and also, here's another thing. The earth, we need to wrap our head around this too. The earth is young. The earth is 6,000 years old, give or take. 6,000 years old, it's not billions of years old. If you really believe that the Bible is true and you study it and you look into it, and if you trace things back, the Bible is about, or the Bible, the earth is about 6,000 years old. So this whole millions of years thing is a huge conflict. Why does that matter? Why does it have anything to do with your kid's salvation? Why do we even have to worry about that? Let me explain. The reason is because if we can't take Genesis, the very first chapter of the Bible, number one, very first thing you open up to, if we can't take that at face value, if we don't believe that that's true, when do we start believing that the Bible's true? Number two reason, think about this. God created a perfect world. The importance of understanding Genesis and the importance of understanding it in the way that it was intended to be understood, literally, the importance of that is completely dependent on the understanding of salvation. Let me explain. God created a perfect world in 7 days, seven real normal time days, seven 24-hour days. He created the world, okay? He created a perfect world. There was no sin. There was no animals killing other animals. Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. God lived with his people in the garden. This is so important, you guys. This is something that we hear over and over again and sometimes can feel like a fairy tale. But I want you to try your best to take what I'm saying and take it as truth, because I struggled with that for a long time. And so think of it that way. And then what happened? Adam and Eve sinned. They sinned and they brought sin into the world. Because of that, they disobeyed what God had told them to do. And because of their turning from God, God then, because he loves them, a loving God gives consequence for disobedience. Because he loved them, he had to separate himself from them, because he is a holy God who is so perfect. He loved them so much, he had to push them away and separate them, and they had to suffer that consequence, which now we all suffer. We all suffer that consequence, okay? Now, why does this matter if we know if the world was created in 7 days or millions of years, like we have heard over and over and over again in our lifetime? The reason that this matters is this, okay? Let me ask you this question. If the world is millions of billions of years old, dinosaurs existed before people. Okay, again, I'm going to be very proactive and tell you, listen, people walked with dinosaurs. That's right, I said it. If you don't believe that as truth, you've been inoculated with an evolution point of view. So think about this, though. If the world is millions of billions of years old and dinosaurs existed before people even did, so dinosaurs had died off before people even came and existed, then you cannot believe Genesis chapter 1. Why? Because Genesis chapter 1 says that in 7 days, God created a perfect world and people walked in that world with God and it was perfect. Meaning all the animals were created while those people were walking with God. Adam and Eve were walking with God. All of creation was already created. There was no sin until the fall. There was no death until the fall, until the sin came into the world. Who brought the sin? Adam and Eve. Meaning the dinosaurs couldn't have existed before Adam and Eve and then died, because how could there have been death before Adam and Eve even came into the world? Adam and Eve are the ones who brought in the sin, which resulted in death. Do you see my point? I encourage you to dive into some resources. Why is this so important, though? Why is this so important to the salvation message? This is absolutely imperative to understand to the salvation message, because for a couple reasons. Number one, without understanding that sin was brought into the world, into a perfect world by man, and God had to separate himself from us, but then God loved us so much. He loved his human creation so much that he sent Jesus Christ he came to the earth as a man, as the God-man, Jesus Christ, and lived a perfect life on this earth. Why? Because back in the Old Testament time, when there was sin, an animal needed to die, blood needed to be shed to atone for that sin. Do you realize blood was shed in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned? How do we know that? Because when Adam and Eve sinned and they ate that apple, or we call it an apple, it might have been a different fruit. I'm sure it wasn't an apple. Anyways, when they ate that fruit from that tree, when they were not supposed to, God, what did they do? Immediately they hid. They knew that they were naked. So God, in his loving, infinite wisdom, what did he do? He clothed them with animal skin. How do you get animal skin? You kill an animal. There was the first sacrifice, right? In the Garden of Eden. So we know that blood was shed for that first sin. And as you go through the Old Testament, you see again and again, blood being shed for the sins of the people until entered Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came in the New Testament. That's in the New Testament. Jesus Christ came and he lived a perfect life. He was the perfect lamb, right? That's what they refer him to. He's a perfect lamb. He lived the perfect life. Why? So that he could be the perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice has to be perfect. It cannot be blemished. It cannot be sinful. Jesus lived and he took the sin for us on the cross. So it's so imperative that we understand the creation story accurately in order to really comprehend the story of salvation and in Jesus Christ, excuse me, in our need for him. Because our kids, if they aren't taught the true depth of Genesis and the importance of it, then they're not going to fully comprehend salvation and realize that they truly need a savior and he's there for them. If we just start with the story of Jesus Christ and we don't include the Old Testament the way it's supposed to be in the way we're supposed to understand it, then we're not going to fully comprehend the salvation story. And the other thing is this: if we try to mix the evolution story, because I've heard Christians do this, and I probably did this at some point. I'm sure I did. Or if you would have asked me, I don't know how old am I, 15 years ago about this, I would have probably been like, yeah, I think we can mix the evolution story with and make it fit into creation. I totally would have said that. But listen, hear me out here. We can't do that because of this. There's so many reasons. There's so much evidence that evolution was not an action, was not possible. And it's so important that we do not mix that with scripture. And we do not try to fit our evolutional humanistic worldview into God's word. The reason is because evolution says that DNA of all people, all creation came from one source, and that one source came from random interaction of random chemicals that created in some organism. And then from that one organism, all different organisms came, horses, monkeys, people, from one organism. Now, let me just stop right there for a second. That's teaching people that they came from and by accident. No one created them. They were created by accident. And their ancestors are, we all have the same ancestor. You have the same ancestor as your dog, as that tree out there. You have the same ancestor as the salamander, the spider. We all came from one thing. And the DNA just changed. But let me tell you something. And if you really dive into it and you know how science proves this, DNA cannot be changed. DNA can be lost, but it cannot be changed. It cannot. There's no evidence of a monkey's DNA changing to the DNA of a human. There's no evidence of that. Zero. And there's so much studies on this. But the problem is in our schools and even in the local library, I saw a book the other day out there about Darwin and his theories. And I'm actually reading a biography on Darwin right now. And it's very interesting and actually quite sad. He was a very hopeless man. Anyways, it's being taught as fact to kids. So these kids are growing up with zero hope because they're like, well, I'm here by accident. Why shouldn't I live for my own pleasures? I'm answering to nobody higher than myself. I'm here by accident. We need to teach truth. And it begins in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1. And when we do that, our kids realize that they are created on purpose. There is a reason they were created. They were created individually, uniquely by their creator who loves them. And they were not created by accident. They did not they were not derived from some ape or some monkey. No, that's not the case. And quite frankly, I was watching Jane Goodall with my son and daughter the other day, a couple months ago actually. And we were watching it because we were learning about apes. And we learned through a biblical worldview. We learned through a curriculum called Apologia. I highly recommend it for science. It's great. Biblical worldview science. Anyways, Jane Goodall was definitely a humanist, secular world. She had a humanist secular worldview. She studied the apes, and the more she studied them, the more she decided, yep, these are my ancestors, which is actually quite sad. It really is. Anyways, my son looks at me and he's like, Mom, how can she even believe that? And I'm like, I'm glad you see things that way, Levi, because I feel like the average child, myself included at that age, has been taught that is truth. It's not even taught as a theory anymore. It's taught as truth. So We need to teach our kids truth. We don't not talk about those things. I absolutely talk about evolution with my kids, and because I want them, when they get challenged in life, which they will, I want them to be able to stand and be able to give a reason for the hope that they have. And that's in scripture. We're commanded to do that. Always be able to give an answer for the hope that we have. And we have hope in Jesus Christ because of his love for us. Because after the fall of man and sin entered the world, God still made a way for us to come. We were eternally separated from him until he made a way for us to come back to him. And that was through Jesus Christ. All right, guys. So I guess I got a little bit off on a tangent there about secular humanism and creation and evolution. But I do hope that encouraged you and lit a fire under you that what you're doing matters more than you know. Teach your kids the truth. They are going to get it from nobody else. They're going to get it nowhere else. They need to hear it from you. You are the loudest voice in their life. You are the most consistent voice in their life, especially if you homeschool. They hear from you every single day. Teach them the truth. That is the most important thing. Do you notice how I said nothing about how's, you know, math? Okay. Let me just say, leave you with one last thing. It doesn't matter how good your child is at math if they do not have a proper biblical worldview. Their knowledge is useless in this world if we are not viewing things through a biblical lens. We're just another smart person with a lost soul. We have got to make sure our kids, number one, understand creation from a biblical worldview, that they are saved, that they understand their need for a creator, and that they've given their life to Jesus Christ. Those are the things that we need to lead them toward more than anything else. If you haven't gotten to Algebra 2 and your kids in high school, I would not freak out about it. I would focus on their foundation more than anything else. And also, I want to say this, changing our nation, all this to say this, changing our nation and what we're seeing in the political environment, we can say, okay, we should pass this bill, we should pass this legislation to make this change. The change that's going to last and that's going to impact the world for generation starts right there in your home. It starts with your children. Change starts from the ground up, not from the top down. Top down change will change because the next president that gets in, the next party that's in control, they're going to change it. They're going to do something different. The change that we want to see that will ripple throughout our politics for years, will ripple throughout our nation for years, it starts there at home. Okay, I hope that encouraged you guys. Hope that relit a fire under you that what you're doing is absolutely so important. Like, so important. All right, guys. Have an awesome week, and I hope to be back next week, but I am not going to put that weird pressure on myself and freak out if I don't, because then, you know, I just get crabby at everybody else in my house. We're just not going to do that, okay? All right, I hope you guys have an awesome week. I will see you soon. Bye.
For more encouragement and to find out where else we can connect online, visit AllisonPowers.com. Thanks for listening.